Hope everyone's having a good week and enjoying the beautiful warm weather outside. Isn't it wonderful? It's supposed to be really, really hot. They say tomorrow it'll be even hotter, but I've gotten smarter in my old age. I've really come to appreciate and realize that it doesn't matter how hot it is outside, I can stay inside the air conditioning. Folks, so looking forward to that. Well, let's go ahead and go have a Lord a prayer. I want another chair to come and lead us in our first song. Lord, we love you so much, and thank you for your goodness. Thank you for the blessings and joy of service and fellowship. Thank you for the little handfuls on purpose that you bring our way. And Lord, I pray that you bless our night. Thank you for a warm day that we have comfortable padded chairs and air conditioning on the inside. We praise you for that. Now bless our time together in Jesus' name. Amen. Time as we can look to your word tonight. May we be challenged. May we be encouraged as we continue our study in the book of Proverbs. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, if you have your handouts tonight, well, of course, we'll be back in the book of Proverbs. And first verse that we'll look at tonight is in Proverbs chapter 28. Proverbs chapter 28 and verse number 23. As we continue with the aspect of Proverbs on acceptance and approval. And as I've said each and every week, and I'll continue to say, it is so sad today to think people go to social media to get acceptance, to get approval, when the only approval that we need is of our Lord. And I pray that some of those would be able to help to them, and even Christians today that live out their life on social media, that they'll see and understand that it's we find our freedom, our salvation, our acceptance, our approval from the Lord. And so we looked at a good name should be chosen over wealth, and we looked at several, it's been a couple of weeks on that, and how to establish a good name. And tonight we'll go on to letter B, or the next one, a couple of them tonight. But a loving rebuke is favored over flattery. A loving rebuke is favored over flattery. Again, that aspect of acceptance and approval. A rebuke over flattery. Proverbs chapter 28 and verse 23. He that rebuketh a man afterwards shall find more favor than he that flattereth with his tongue. See, Solomon tells us that people appreciate honest, loving criticism more than insincere flattery. The motive behind flattery is to get or to take. It's not always to give, though they may be giving flattery. The flatterer wants something from the person being flattered. It may be for attention, it may be for friendship, money, sex, business contracts, and the list could go on and on. You see, flattery appeals to the vanity of a person. Flattery appeals to the vanity of a person. The flattery can be very destructive because it could encourage someone to choose or to continue on a course that will hurt them or hurt those that are around them. On the other hand, genuine praise and encouragement for someone has the motive of giving and not taking. There's a big difference between praise and encouragement than flattery. The purpose of praise is to build up with no motive of getting anything in return. You know, look, just wanting to be a blessing and an encouragement. So, are you encouraging them to continue with the choices they are making, or are you encouraging them to maybe take a second look when that rebuke comes in? So what is Solomon exactly saying when he mentions the word rebuke? Well, rebuke is from a Hebrew word which means to reprove, to correct, to convince, or convict, or to chasten. So without a doubt, it is sharp as we would think of the word rebuke. So why would you lovingly rebuke a person? Well, it's because a person being corrected is doing something wrong, destructive or potentially destructive to the life of others. So wise people who really want to do what is right should appreciate a loving correction and favor to them who rebuke or correct them. I know sometimes being on the receiving end can be hard, but when it's sincere, it's genuine, and we're trying to help someone, it should be favored. The word here in this passage, favor, is used 14 times in the book of Proverbs, and it means acceptance, goodwill, or approval. So obviously, it's the aspect of doing it for the right purpose, the right reason. It comes from a root word or from a verb to be pleased with. So all surrounding the aspect of encouragement in helping someone out. In some situations, the favor may not come until the person has messed up in their lives because they did not heed the correction or the rebuke because they refused to listen. We've all had times in our life, hopefully just during those teen years, but we've had times in our life where, of course, we knew everything. And I've learned through the years, the older I get, the smarter my dad is, the smarter others that I look to for counsel, for encouragement. But too often, those who know it all, those who are not willing to accept loving rebuke, after they reap a bunch of problems, they realize that the rebuker was not right and wise. They just struggle in that area. So remember, the rebuker is favored because their warnings turn out to be valid and to be true. Kind of hard to say thank you when somebody gets on to you, but sometimes it's for our help. Sometimes loving correction supplies security. Sometimes that correction is to give you boundaries. I know I used to use the word boundaries or guidelines with the kids when they were growing up at home, and I would often ask them, of course, we're that generation, and our kids knew a little bit because we were in Eastern Europe and we went to the circus a few times. But I made a comment, you know how they have that net underneath those doing those balancing acts, those with the flying trapeze, they've got those nets underneath, and there may be some of those that want to scare the audience and have no fear, and they do it without the net. Well, that's not me. But anyway, there they are, the man on the flying trapeze, they've got the safety net underneath, and I would remind my children, especially my girls, why is it there? Why is it there? It's there for a safety net in case you fall. And that's the same reason mom and dad has boundaries and why mom and dads may at times may have to rebuke you or draw your attention, because we want to set boundaries in your territory to help you in the event that you fall. If we look at it as those who rebuke us at times lovingly, they're just trying to help us, to provide those guidelines to help us out in life. Kind of like bowling. Nobody likes to throw a gutter ball. So when I go bowling with the grandkids, I always request they put up those guards. The girls don't want it. They usually don't. But if we don't, bless their heart, Jovi will throw a ball three lanes over. So those guards are there to help them, to give them, even though they may bounce and play pinball going back and forth, it's still boundaries to keep them in life. And it's good to have friends that are willing to give us guards. And I don't want to call them gutter guards. We're not talking about bowling, but guards to help us to stay true and to stay right in our life. Loving, again, correction supplies security. Have you ever been in a situation where you needed to make some choices or big decisions, but you were not sure if you were making the right one? I'm sure there's been times in our life we've come across those things where we look to a mentor, we look to a family member, we look to a mom or a dad, but we've been there. Perhaps you did not know who you should talk to about your decision. See, this type of indecisiveness, bouncing back and forth, creates insecurity and stress because you do not really know where your choice is going to lead you. You know, there's a game show on TV, and I can't remember the name of it, where they come down to the end and they have a lifeline and they can call someone to get the answer to help them out to win the game, to win the jackpot or whatever it is. I think we all should have someone that we know, that we have a good, healthy relationship with, so we don't have to be indecisive and going back and forth. We can give them a call. Say, hey, what do you think? Hey, can we meet for coffee later today or tomorrow? Why be indecisive and bounce back and forth, being unsure, wringing your hands and not sleeping well, when you can just make a phone call? Call on a friend, call on your pastor, call on someone that might encourage you in those areas. See, the person who confronts you about your choices, bad choices, whether it is a parent, a pastor, a teacher, a coach, a Christian friend, again, a family member, is doing you a favor by trying to help you correct bad decisions and encouraging wise ones. We have all have been there. We've all have known someone in our life that have been there and making bad decisions. And let me help you out with something. Bad decisions does not expire when you reach a certain age. We're all prone to still making bad decisions. Sometimes their correction may also help you to avoid an unwise choice in your life. A person like this in your life will provide security for you by pointing out potential problems before they occur. I tell you, I count it an honor when a friend calls and say, hey, look, I need some counsel. I want to run something by you. When my brother calls and says, hey, Mac, you know, I've got a decision to make coming around the corner. I'm really not quite sure what I should do. And of course, my first answer is always, have you talked to your pastor? And usually the other end, I'll say, yes, I have, but I also want to talk to my big brother. And so I said, okay, I'm here to listen. What can I do for you? But still, it's important. They, again, these folks are not your enemies, but they are your true friends when they're ready to listen or even come to you when you did not ask to warn you, hey, watch out, be careful. Thank God for them and listen to what they have to say, because a loving rebuke is much more favored over flattery. Letter C, don't favor the wicked. I know this sounds like a no-brainer. Proverbs chapter 18 and verse 5, it is not good to accept the person of the wicked, to overthrow the righteous in judgment. See, Solomon instructs us that it's not good to accept the person of the wicked. This word accept here in Proverbs 18:5, it means to support, to favor, to exalt, to be swept away or to acquit or to show partiality. And sometimes we're not careful, we could wink at sin, we could wink at the wicked, or we could wink at some things or kind of turn a blind eye because maybe something that they can do for us or something that may be against us or hurt us by not doing so. Solomon says, don't do that. You see, when the wicked are found guilty, they are not to be acquitted. They are not to be let loose. But sadly, we live in a different world today. They are not to be supported, and we are not to be swept away by their influence or their prestige or their possible prestige and power or wealth that they may have. They are to be punished of their crimes. You know, I'm sad to say that we're living in a time today, and I may get myself in trouble. It's so good to have Brother Cena who edits some of this when we need to. But we live in a time in a world today that people used to say this 30 years ago, and today they're saying something completely different, all to stay in power politically. And we're seeing that day in and day out. And something was brought up today about Mr. Schumer, where he was 20, 30 years ago. He was all for the IDs. It's fraud prevention. But today it's people can't manage to find their birth certificate or a driver's license, and pushing the aspect of having to have a passport to vote, and that's not true. You don't need a passport. There's other IDs that you can use. But it's, again, for an advantage. And we've got so many people today that are winking or favoring the wicked because of something they might be able to do or to advance for them or help them in their life. Solomon continues and says that those who are innocent or righteous are not to be denied justice. It is not good to accept the person of the wicked to overthrow the righteous in judgment. This verse is so relevant in the world that we live in today because the tendency of the courts is to favor criminals. In one door, out the back door. And so society is swept away by the wicked. Criminals are given book contracts or movie contracts to tell their story of the crimes that they've committed. Other criminals are released over petty technicalities. But Solomon says, hey, it's not good to accept the person of the wicked. It's not good to just to wink or to look away because often it is up to overthrow the righteous in judgment. Often criminals run rampant in our streets, laughing at the police and laughing at the courts. They feel emboldened to continue their crimes because they feel they will get away with them. Well, Ecclesiastes chapter 8 and verse 11 says, because sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily, therefore the heart of the sons of men is fully set in them to do evil. There is no consequences. You just keep on doing it. It continues. Yes, the Bible has much to say, and it's a shame that some of our justices don't read the Bible, much less the book of Proverbs. So don't favor the wicked. And then letter D, don't seek acceptance or favor from those in powerful positions or generous with their wealth. And of course, we've got a slew of politicians that do that, that get their donations, but it's very clear that we should not do that. Proverbs chapter 29 and verse 26. Many seek the ruler's favor, but every man's judgment cometh from the Lord. Proverbs chapter 19 and verse 6. Again, let me read that again. Many seek the ruler's favor, and sometimes it could be a good ruler, but not always. But every man's judgment comes from the Lord. Proverbs 19:6. Many will entreat the favor of the prince, and every man is a friend of him that giveth gifts. So people seek the favor of those in powerful positions and of those who are generous with their wealth. Now, if you don't think the people will line up to get something free, now, some of us are in an era where we don't need to worry about getting something free. But some folks will line up to fill up their gas tank at this gas tank because they'll get a free soda if they go inside, or a free hot dog, or free whatever it may be, as opposed to going somewhere else that might even be cheaper. I wonder how so many of them don't even calculate the cents per gallon that they're saving and how much it would cost and what they're saving for that free Coke they're going to get. But they see that free and that, or someone who could advance them or to help them. So don't seek acceptance or favor from those in powerful positions or generous with their wealth. The word entreat is interesting. It is from a Hebrew word, shalal, and it literally means making the face of someone sweet or pleasant. Can you imagine making the face of someone sweet or pleasant, as in stroking the face will make it more pleasant? To entreat the favor of someone is to convince him to show favor to you or to someone else. The action aims at receiving gifts, receiving benefits, or any other kind of success. The phrase entreat the favor is often used to express prayer, but not here. Used to express prayer when God is the one whose favor is being sought. But here it is the prince who can grant requests that we're seeking favor from. Both biblically and instinctively, we know that we are to love people and to use things. But too often we do just the opposite. We love things and use people to get the things that we love. People have a tendency to hang around those who can advance their career or enhance or advance their social standing in life. Again, getting back to some of that examples we talked about several weeks ago and seeking approval and acceptance and through social media, the things that people will do. And I don't want to get sidetracked here, and it's haven't seen it as much, and I don't follow social media, but I do read the news. I do read things about social media and AI and where our world's coming to and how it affects people. I think I need to be aware. But it amazed me of some of these things they call TikTok challenge, where these kids see things and they try to challenge other people to do it or encourage them. You're not cool unless you try these things. And recently a kid in Florida almost got shot dead, but he didn't get shot, but he could have, simply because the TikTok challenge was this: to kick a door two or three times with your foot. I mean, raising your foot, I can't do that. Let me hold on to something. Raising your foot and just pounding on the door and then running off. Well, this guy came to the door with a shotgun, ready to blast whoever's on the other side because he was scared. But then he realized, well, let's wait to see if they kick again. But he had a video camera, saw who it was. The police found them, and the kid says it was a TikTok challenge. How many kids have been hurt? How many kids have taken a medicine, taken a three-ounce thing of a measuring cup and just taking cinnamon, hold down your throat and swallowing without no water? Just crazy. But see, folks, people get conditioned And then they go on to the next bigger challenge, the next bigger adrenaline rush or whatever it may be. Again, all in the name of acceptance or approval, and sometimes by somebody they don't even know that's on the other end of a social media account. Well, dear friends, it's so important. Let me encourage you. We're at that age. We're older. I know that. But at that age, to know what's going on in your kid's life, your grandkid's life, and ask questions and try to be a part of their life. People have a tendency, again, to hang around those who can advance their career or enhance their social standing. I got an illustration here, and then we'll continue. In ancient Greece, the political, crafty philosopher Aristippus had learned to get along in court by flattering the tyrant Dennis. The tyrant looked down his nose at some of the less prosperous fellow philosophers and wise men who would not stoop so low as to do as he would do in flattering the, as Aristus would flatter the king or the leader. And one day he saw his old colleague, Diogenes, washing some vegetables, and he said to him disdainfully, "If you would only learn to flatter the king, you would not have to be washing lentils." And he acknowledged as he looked up and slowly, at the same tone, replied, "And if you had only learned to live on lentils, you would not have to flatter the king." And so often, we don't realize the motive that we have and what we're doing, what the end result of that could be. Jesus did not do this. Instead, he said, we should give to those who can't return the favor. Instead of trying to please others and get the acceptance and pleasing of others, do what we can to be assistance and help to others and not just looking to gain favor ourselves. The Bible says in Luke chapter 14 and verse 13 and 14, "But when thou makest a feast, call the poor, the maimed, the lame, the blind, and thou shalt be blessed. For they cannot recompense thee, for thou shalt be recompensed at the resurrection of the just." It has been said that you can judge a man's character by how he treats those who could do nothing for him. That's why Jesus is so remarkable. He chose to hang out with those who, in the world's eyes, were unimportant and pretty much forgotten. The fishermen, the laymen, those who worked with their hands. That's who he worked with, and that's who he called, and that's who he was around with so much. Letter E. The wicked are selfish and do not favor others. Again, reasons why we should not look for acceptance and approval of the ungodly. Proverbs 21 and verse 10. The soul of the wicked desireth evil. His neighbor findeth no favor in his eyes. See, those folks who are evil desire that which is evil. The deep-seated craving and appetite for sinful things is their daily life. It is almost as if they were addicted to wickedness. The neighbor of the wicked finds no favor and no mercy. The neighbor of the wicked finds no favor and no mercy from the wicked. Why? The wicked tend to be focused on themselves and not on others, only themselves. I want to revisit a situation. We're grateful for some neighbors that we have now, and we're grateful for some neighbors that we do not have anymore. I would put them on that wicked category. There was times I just could not understand. Some kids are out in the and they're using their little electric cars they got for their birthday or got for Christmas, and they're running up and down the road. They've got one on the other end watching for cars and one on the other end watching for cars, and they're racing and they're playing. When the car comes by, they take it out of the way or they move out of the way. And this former neighbor would come out because some of those little electric cars were a little loud. I didn't think they were that loud. And would go out and just fussing and cussing and give them a hard time just because they're playing in the streets or because they're in front of their house that's included with their neighbor, not just in front of their house. Again, some folks have no joy and no happiness unless they're complaining about someone else or getting on to someone. Let's make sure that, and I had to address some of these things, not let them off the hook. And we did address, and they did try to talk to them, and sometimes it was very difficult. But many folks like this that are wicked, they are downright mean, ruthless, and sometimes deliberately hurtful. And the Lord says we are to push away, to refrain from those. Fulfilling their cravings is paramount in their decisions, for they are in love with themselves and not concerned about somebody else. Proverbs says, the soul of the wicked desireth evil, his neighbor findeth no favor in his eyes. See, half of our problems come from wanting our own way. The other half comes from getting it. If you think about it, sometimes when we get our own way, it's really not what we thought that we wanted. A man finds it hard to get what he wants because he does not want the best that God has for him. We had a dog growing up in Florida that learned that real quick one day. He thought that he wanted that raccoon in a bad way until he caught him and he found out that he did not want or need that raccoon. Several hundred dollars later to visit to the veterinarian, my dad realized that we should have kept him tied up that day. See, God continues to give his best, but most men will not take what God has to offer. Sometimes what God has to offer is conviction. Sometimes it's bumps and bruises, spiritually speaking, but it is what's best for us. So we have been studying the acceptance and the approval of men, and so far we have looked at, in reference to the acceptance and approval of man, a good name should be chosen over wealth, a loving rebuke should be favored over flattery, don't favor the wicked, don't appease them. Let me challenge you. Don't take those TikTok challenges. Don't favor the wicked. Don't seek acceptance or favor for those in powerful positions or that may be generous with their wealth just to take advantage. But minister and look at the opportunity to give to those. Minister to those who have nothing to give in return. And then the wicked are selfish and do not favor others. Isn't it so sad that we live in a world today that even though the Bible was written as long as it was so many years ago, it still applies today? Still applies today with so many different things. So many. I personally, before reading this and finding this verse, I don't misunderstand me. I've seen it, but I didn't necessarily keep it in context there in Ecclesiastes chapter 8 and verse 11. Because a sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily. Therefore, the heart of the sons of men is fully set to them to do evil. Boy, it makes so much more sense today as I read it than the first time I've read it some years ago when I read my Bible through. But the Bible is still very true, very accurate, and very timing in our life. Proverbs on acceptance and approval. Let's strive not to seek the approval of man, especially the wicked, but the approval of our Lord and Savior. Amen. Father, again, we love you and we thank you for your goodness, the blessings, the joy of service. Thank you for your word. Though it's still the same yesterday, today, and forever, it still rings so true and accurate today in the time that we live in. Help us to embrace it. Help us to read it. Help us to reread it. Help us to apply it to our life. And Father, help us to remember that that acceptance and that approval of men, it's nice sometimes to hear, but Lord, it's you that we need to please. It's you that we need to strive for. And Lord, help us to be mindful of that. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, as always, the Lord loves you. This preacher loves you. If I can be helped to you in any way, please do not hesitate to ask. God bless you. You're dismissed. Don't forget to pick up some of our Easter flyers and invite somebody to the church.